This is the Friday, August 5th, 2016 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. The commodity market spent a large share of their time fending off reports of good growing weather and predictions of more than adequate supplies to finish mixed. For the week, September wheat grew 8 cents, while the nearby corn contract declined 10 cents. Sun and rain at the right times woke sleeping bears as the September soybean contract lost 32 cents. September meal went along, falling $15.50 per ton. In the softs, December cotton gained $2.70 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, September Class 3 milk futures advanced 40 cents. The livestock sector finished mixed as the October cattle contract moved 380 higher, September feeders improved 862, and the October lean hog contract continued its search for a floor, losing 75 cents. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index added 65 points. Crude oil gained a scant 20 cents per barrel. Gold lost $23 per ounce, and the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index lost more than 2 points to finish the week at 341.40. Here now to lend us his insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Ted Seifert. Ted, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We are glad to have you here. This is the first week in quite a while we have seen substantive gains in this wheat market.
Yeah.
We're up 8 cents on the nearby. What tripped that trigger? Dollars higher.
Dollars higher. You know, the dollar has come down pretty well over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, take that in with a grain of salt. You know, as far as the wheat market's concerned, we've had some issues with the European crop. You know, we're talking about France. Now there's some talk about Germany having some issues. While these aren't areas that are going to be big enough production areas that are going to have a very significant impact on the global balance sheet and really increase our exports significantly, you do wonder if maybe the worst of the news for the wheat market might be behind us now at this point, and you've got a very large speculative position, a very large fund position that is very short. And if these guys need to get out of the short position or start to peel back on that short position, it could have a very large impact on trading in wheat and could give us higher prices without having any real good fundamental reason to do it. But at this point, you do wonder if most of the negative news has been factored in already.
Are you putting positions in place today in this wheat market to count on that move higher as those shorts come out?
I would not aggressively be buying wheat futures at the moment. And I'm not so sure that we've got the lows in right now. However, what we have done is we've started to buy a little bit of the wheat calls, and call spreads in particular, to maybe offset some of the production sold at harvest. Just to, you know, give us a chance to participate in a fund-led short covering rally, something of that nature. But I don't want to be very spendy because my confidence isn't very high that wheat's going straight up from here.
Okay.
But it's a better time now than, say, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but I feel more comfortable doing something like that now than a few weeks ago.
All right. Now let's talk about this corn market. Down another 10 cents. We continue to get yield estimates in the 172, 176, 175 range.
Yep.
What does that take us here on price?
Yeah, you know, I've been talking for a couple of weeks now that, you know, as we lead up to that August WASDE report, we're going to start hearing a lot of yield estimates. And those yield estimates are mostly going to be based off of the good to excellent condition that the USDA NASS gives us. So at 76% good to excellent, that's 6% better than last year. Last year, we came up with a 168.4 national average yield. This year, the USDA is looking at 168 as trend line. So the fact that we're 6% better has guys adding on to that yield pretty significantly. And I understand that from a statistical basis. I get that. But I do wonder about that because these USDA numbers or the NASS numbers, crop conditions numbers, aren't a perfect science. Mm-hmm. So take soybeans, for example. I know we're talking about corn, but take soybeans, for example. In 2014, we never dropped below 70% good to excellent. We ended the year with a 47.5 national average yield. Last year, 2015, we never got above a 65% good to excellent, and we ended up with a record yield of 48 national average. So, you know, I mean, there's a big difference there.
Yeah.
Almost 10 percentage points, and yet we had a higher crop on the lower rated year. So we got to take these USDA numbers with a grain of salt. You wonder what lingering effects this heat has had on the corn. You wonder about test weights. You wonder about kernel depth. You wonder about tip back.
And all of these things kind of lead us to our Twitter question I want to throw to you.
Sure.
As we get a little closer to harvest. This one's from Adam in Woden, Iowa. On Twitter, he asked, to what extent will the markets believe upcoming crop tour yield reports? Once we get past USDA next week, will we put a lot of strength behind these crop tours that go out in the countryside?
Yes, and that's a great question. Because statistically, we know that it's a good rated crop. And we know that the USDA's model really favors for corn rainfall during the month of July. We know we had a lot of rain, but we also had a lot of heat. So there's a big question mark this year as to what sort of effects that had.
Okay.
I would much rather listen to a crop tour than a statistical analysis. You've got to use both of them because you got to understand that the USDA is heavily weighting on their crop conditions.
All right.
But the crop tours are going to answer some questions.
Perfect.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, we are going to dig into this topic deeper on our Market Plus segment that you can find online. We want to talk demand with Ted Seifert. But next, I want to jump into the soybean market.
Yep.
Another 32 cents to the downside, Ted. Where's the floor in this market?
Well, the global end users seem to think that the floor could be somewhere in this general neighborhood. I mean, if you look at the last 8 days, we've had significant export sales on the daily flash report. So, and then we saw on Thursday we had a very good export sales report, which really even predated a lot of these sales as well. So global end users are stepping up to the plate, suggesting that we're at good value here. You could see this number. You could see bean prices come down between now and our harvest lows. And I think you will, because again, just like corn, I think we're going to start hearing higher and higher yield estimates. But you do wonder, I mean, how much lower do we go from here? I mean, because demand is really very solid.
Are
we
looking
levels.
Back at those mid $8 as a floor on this market, that wintertime trade we saw in the NOVA contract?
Very much depends on where we end up with national average yield.
Okay.
You know, the bigger the yield, the bigger the carryover, the more demand, the more we can absorb this spike in demand that we've seen recently.
Okay.
You know, what we do know is that demand is good and improving. And a lot of times, that's a really good sign that the global end users, which are pretty savvy, are feeling like that we're at value here. But if that yield continues to creep up and that demand isn't taking a whole lot away from the carryover, well, we still might have some work to do to the downside. So we'll see. And the month of August is still a very, very key month
right. For
soybeans.
And we're just getting started.
A lot to be determined there yet.
As we've started the month of August, we have seen this nice rally in live cattle futures continue.
Yeah.
We put another almost $4 on this week.
Yeah.
And yet this week, we were also greeted by news that now we are going to begin trade with Brazil, both directions.
Right.
We've got a question from Rodney in Edgar, Wisconsin. What implications will that Brazil have on this live cattle market?
Oh, that's a great question, Rodney. Any answer I'm going to give you right now is speculation.
Okay.
Because I don't really know for sure what's going to happen with that. But like you said, that's trade going both ways. So, you know, the bright side of that is that, hey, that opens up the door to more exports, potentially. You know, for corn, we're going to be sending more corn to Brazil because of their crop issues that they've had. So that potential is great, but it can come the other way too. So I think that you want to look at it as a positive sign for the market or a positive input to the market. But cautious optimism, I think, is the way to go with that.
Do you think we're getting close to a top in here? Are we aggressively selling this rally, or do we have more room to the upside?
No, you look at commitment of traders here today. There was some pretty significant buying here this week. Close above the 50-day moving average. That was very nice. Yesterday, we trimmed a lot of the games and came back down and tested key support. We answered that with a nice bounce higher here again today. I'm looking for the October lives to go and push the 118, hopefully into the 120 area. And then we might be looking at some pretty significant resistance. But I think it's looking good for now.
Okay.
Of a little concern is, you know, we did leave that gap down on that chart near the lows. And at some point, we might have to go test that. If we do, though, what we could be doing is putting in a multi-year low, potentially. But in the near term, I'd like to see more upside potential. The price action feels good to me.
Okay.
So I'm not aggressively selling cattle just quite yet.
Feeder cattle, almost $9 higher this week.
Yeah.
Can we take out 150?
Well, in talking about the live cattle, I like a feeder-led rally, you know. So can we? I don't know. That's going to be the 150 level is a big technical and also psychological resistance level. So that is going to be proving ground. That is going to be a big test. And we'll have to see what we do when we get there. I would not be surprised to see a pullback from that level before we maybe try it again. We try it more than one time or more than two times. You know, you keep knocking on that door. Eventually, you think you're going to get through.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised to find some selling in front of that, just because
it
you
is
know
such
we know
a
it's resistance.
Target.
And yeah, absolutely.
Lean hogs. Can we buy this lean hog market yet, or do we have more room to the downside? You talk about knocking on that door.
Yeah.
Every week we're knocking on that door, and every week it opens to another stairway to the downside.
That's absolutely right. And we get very, very oversold to levels on the RSI, relative strength index, that are considered extreme cases of being oversold. And then we have a little tiny bounce and trade sideways just for a brief enough period of time, but long enough to correct those RSIs a little bit, and then we slam it again. I don't know. You know, it's really difficult to think that hogs have that much more downside potential left in them from where we stand. Yes, fundamentals are a bit bearish compared to what we were looking at just even 3 or 4 months ago, but we factored that into the market, and then some maybe.
And the bearish factors, we've known supplies are
exactly.
growing. Is it primarily the drop in export demand? Is that the lead of the bearish factors?
Well, the drop in export demand is part of it, but well, exports as a whole. The drop in export demand, but not only that, disappointment that the export demand hasn't really gotten stronger. We've been hoping or really planning on exports to get strong, especially from Southeast Asia, China in particular. And that's just really never shown up. So a lot of these bullish speculative bets that had been made in hogs, based on the idea that we were going to see this big influx of Chinese exports, that never happened. And that had to come out. Now,
okay.
You think that we could be getting close to that. And you do wonder, Chinese made some cancellations. This is a game that they like to play before they make some bigger purchases, potentially.
Perfect. Ted, we'll pick this up in the Market Plus. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market. But Ted and I will keep the market conversation going, including answering more of your questions during Market Plus, available on our website. While you're there, check out the Market to Market Classroom. It's a place where students of all ages can find stories on the business, technology, and science of agriculture. And join us again next week when we'll examine how USDA is throwing dairy producers a lifeline. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.